Ask Joe. He's old enough to remember.
Yeah. We castle on this
That's
program.
That's his cousin, Bobby Fischer, passed away.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
Any relation? They hand you down the chessboard here?
You know, I always like walking in saying, hey, ask Joe. He's old enough to remember.
Yeah,
always a nice start.
You know, it's the big 5-0 for Mark this March.
We learned that this morning, Joe, that March 28th will be a special day on this program.
Oh,
I think we should have a roast for his birthday.
Right.
I don't think there's any question the program should be dedicated
yeah,
to
right.
it.
Let's do it. We're having a roast. Set it up, Joe.
All right. We'll work on that.
Thanks.
Joe, the bottom line stat for Vanderbilt last night, Shane Foster 1-for-11 from three-point range, and the fact that it took the Commodores almost 30 minutes to make a three.
Yeah, we were beginning to wonder, and you know, part of it was I thought Tennessee really did a good job focusing on the perimeter defense. Their half-court defense was very good, and you saw a lot of just pounding the basketball on the floor, looking for somebody to try to break open. Then finally, when they hit one, they hit three, and all of a sudden that 21-point lead got down to 8, and I thought the game kind of got away.
They had three trips down the floor.
That's right. Three trips to cut it down to 5 or 6 and had a couple of good looks, and they didn't go, and you kind of had a feeling then that that was the best shot. But, you know, there's a couple of disturbing things going on, and it's only the 18th game of the season, but, you know, you've got some veteran players that are not playing well at all right now, and helping to contribute by turning the ball over far, far too much. You know, Tennessee scores 30 points off turnovers, and that's going to be hard to beat. So, you know, Kevin's kind of grinding right now, trying to find a way to get his veteran players back playing the way they were earlier on. And, you know, if there's any good sign to it, you've got guys like Darshawn McClellan, who I think is playing very well, really stepping up. It was good to see George Drake play well last night. Andre Walker played better. So some of the young guys, you know, continue to get better, but they've got to find some kind of solution to this. And this game Saturday is now really important because you can't afford to lose home games in this situation. And LSU will come in here thinking they've got a good chance to pull an upset, so Vanderbilt's got to be ready.
And the frustration was obviously hit its boiling point when Kevin got the tee. I thought that Ogilvie did get fouled. He doesn't put up a little soft air ball like that without hitting your arm. And I'm sure you heard live in Memorex that
you got good FaceTime last night.
Yeah, you were right behind Stallings a lot, Joe. The hair was you had a good hair day.
Thank you.
But
you know, was it one of those things where
the rule supposedly that you can't cuss came up, or you think Kevin just really crossed the line with the ref to get the tee?
To be honest, Frank, I didn't hear what he said.
Okay, yeah, you had the phones on.
I didn't hear what he said. I was told what he said. Did you hear it?
No.
Okay, because from what I was told, there was no cursing in that particular instance. Now, I don't know that for sure. But
so if you tell the ref you're horse crap,
well, and
is that a is that a technical? Is that worthy of one, or is it just the cuss?
That's the old Jim Valvano line we were talking about last night when he called the ref over and said, "Can you give me a technical for what I'm thinking?" And he said, "I think you stink." You know, and so, I don't know. I didn't hear what he said, but you know, Kevin had obviously been working the officials all night, as does Bruce Pearl, as does everybody, and I don't think that technical had a big influence on the game at that point, but
it was a bit just the shot that Ogilvie that they didn't call the foul,
right,
which Kevin had a beef.
Yeah,
that's why I thought the frustration. You know, I think after that was the where they could have cut it to, you know, below 8 or back
and,
to 8.
And I think Kevin feels like AJ's been getting a little bit roughed up in a lot of these games that they've pretty much, as we talked about, let the game really become more physical.
Let's put
year.
It this way. After the game, I thought he should have checked to see if Wayne Chisholm had his wallet and car keys. But but you know what? Welcome to the SEC, kid.
That's right.
Because that's what he's going to get.
That's right. And hopefully that message is getting across early now. And, you know, we've got to find some way to get him off to better starts, too. And that's a twofold problem. AJ's not scoring a lot early on, but he's not touching the ball a lot. And, you know, I think Kevin's really a little bit frustrated that one of the things they talk about is get the ball into the post, because if you do, it makes other good things happen, even if AJ doesn't score. And then they walk out of the locker room and don't do it. And it's beginning to really aggravate him a little bit. You notice the start of the second half. What did they do? Bang to Ogilvie 3 straight times. Chisholm gets 3 fouls early in the second half, And then they step away from it again. Sure, Tennessee made some adjustments, but you know they have got to get the mentality that that ball offensively needs to go through A.J.'s hands on a regular basis.
Joe, Mark talked a little bit earlier in the hour about the defensive job Tennessee did on Shane Foster, switching guys and so forth, and Shane was only one of 11 from three. From what you saw, what did Tennessee do so well to defend him?
They are really good at getting around screens and switching screens around the perimeter. They basically switch every screen on the ball. So the man that's guarding, say, Shane, doesn't have to worry about trying to fight his way through the screen to keep up with him. They just switch. And they have the talent to be able to do that and keep those guys out on the perimeter with a hand in their face. Now, Shane missed some open looks, but certainly I thought Tennessee did a good job, much like Joe Crawford did at Kentucky to a degree, of really manning up on Shane. But you noticed in that second half when they made their run was when Vanderbilt started getting the ball inside and then creating some other open opportunities. But, you know, it's two losses at two tough places to win against what I think are going to prove to be two pretty good teams. Obviously, Tennessee is very good. But they've got to get a couple of things righted if they want to get back to where they want to be.
There used to be a character on Get Smart, the great show from, the late 60s, early 70s, Simon the Likeable.
Yeah.
And I think of Simon when I see John Brady, who's probably the total opposite. He is really kind of Darth Vader, isn't he?
Well, they've got some issues going on. They've got some injuries, and they're going to be really desperate to win. They've added a couple of young guys to the lineup that have helped them recently. And they've been in a situation similar to us a couple of times where they fell way behind and have rallied back. They did it to Ole Miss, almost got back and won that game. But this is really, and it's an old coach's cliche, this is really all about Vanderbilt tomorrow. Sure, they'll spend time scouting LSU, and yes, you'll learn, you know, the tendencies and look at the film, but this is really about Vanderbilt. This is about taking better care of the ball, getting the offense going, playing the way they're supposed to, because a little bit of a trend is developing here, and they've got to get it stopped.
A noon tip-off here on The Zone. Joe, thanks a lot.
Yeah, women, big win for them, too, over Georgia last night, 67-59. That was, you know, having to play LSU, Georgia, Tennessee back-to-back-to-back, getting that one at home was really big.
Joe, we appreciate it.
Oh, okay, guys, see you later.